Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What is truth? It's a Friday morning in Jerusalem. The year is AD 33. Jesus of Nazareth stands before the Roman governor of Judea, Pontius Pilate. The religious leaders have handed Jesus over to Pilate, convinced that he is a blasphemer for claiming to be the Messiah, the Son of God. And they think he's a danger to the people. Pilate is trying to get to the bottom of it all. Pilate is aware that Jesus is a popular man. He's aware of the reception that Jesus received as he entered into Jerusalem a handful of days earlier on Palm Sunday. He's aware that he, Pilate, is probably being put in a no-win situation. And so, Pilate interrogates Jesus himself. He says in John chapter 18, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Are you saying this on your own initiative? Or did others tell you about me?" Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Therefore, Pilate said to him, "So, you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Upon hearing this, Pilate answers with his cynical reply, "What is truth?" So, what is it? Pilate dealt in the world of politics, where everyone has a spin. Everyone has an angle, their own preferred way of telling the story so that it suits them. What's truth in a world like that? Is it largely determined by who can gather the most allies or the strongest army to themselves? Pilate also lived in a world of day-by-day crises and situations on the ground that he had to manage. It's possible that when he heard Jesus talking about his kingdom being not of this world, that Pilate assumed that Jesus is speaking purely in philosophical or spiritual terms. Perhaps the subject matter is interesting, but who has time for that stuff when the urgent stuff of daily life is pressing in around you? For Pilate, it was maintaining control, law and order, making sure things stayed peaceful and preventing riots from breaking out. For you, it might be attending to your job, making sure that things are managed with your children, working through your finances, navigating a health crisis or the health of a loved one. When those daily matters press down on you every day, is the truth of some not of this world kingdom that Jesus brings even relevant? What is truth? And does it matter? On this day, the day that we call Good Friday, we get some answers. In fact, we stare truth in the face, in all of its horror, and all of its beauty. And in doing so, we come to see that truth matters more than anything. In fact, it's a matter of life and death. If you feel like we're living in a war on truth, you would be right. But that war did not start yesterday. That war did not start 4 years ago. That war did not start 100 years ago. That war is almost as old as the world itself. We see it being waged on one of the very first pages of the Bible, Genesis chapter 3. It's there that we are introduced to mankind's great enemy, who appears in the form of a serpent before Adam and Eve. And the first words recorded out of his mouth are an attack on the truth. Did God really say that you must not eat of any tree in the garden? No, God did not say that. And Eve knows it. Only one tree has been withheld. But then Satan goes further, now directly contradicting God's word. You will not surely die if you eat of the fruit that God has withheld. For God knows that when you eat it, you will be like him. You'll know good and evil. In two short statements, Satan's war on truth is fully engaged. Cast doubt about God's word. Cast doubt about God's character. Entice the man and the woman with a promise that will really become for them a death sentence. Adam and Eve bought it all. And day by day, moment by moment, we're tempted to buy the lies as well. God's word provides us with the truth of his will for our lives. A will that begins with fearing and trusting in him above all things and looking to him for everything that is good. But we take shortcuts to the good life. We eat our own version of the fruit. It might look like piling up wealth, as if I'm the owner of that wealth and not simply a steward for God's purposes. It might look like using and abusing relationships in my pursuit of happiness. It might sound like the lies that I tell or the truths that I withhold, because coming out with the full truth would be really painful and awkward for me. It might look like obsessing over politics, as if getting the right person in the right position will solve all the problems, or on the flip side, having the wrong person in the wrong position will make the world fall apart, as if God has ceased to be on his throne. Even kids know how to play the game, being sneaky when it works best, or being a bully when that works better. But the end result of all of that eating of the fruit isn't a better life. It's the opposite. It's death. Adam and Eve would come to find that out. And so would their children, and their children, and their children. And eventually, so will you, and so will I. The wages of sin is death. Permanent death. Eternal, separated from God, death. In the everyday moments of life, we can be distracted from that truth. But at the cross, we're forced to face it. We just sang it in the hymn, "Ye who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here at the cross may view its nature rightly. Here its guilt may estimate." The horror of the cross is the horror of sin and its natural consequence on display. Mankind is meant to flourish. We're meant to be strong and healthy and alive as we reflect the very glory and image of God. What we see at the cross is the opposite of that. It's weakness and pain, humiliation, and ultimately death. This is what sin does. This is what it ultimately looks like when we disconnect ourselves from the source of life in order to do it our own way, imagining that we can find a better way. Look at Jesus on the cross. See the end result of sin, the hard, painful truth. And yet the scene is not just horrible. In a strange way, it's also beautiful. In fact, it's the most beautiful thing that has ever been done in the history of the world. At the cross, you see the full love of God on display for you, for me, for the world. At the cross, we see the hard truth of our sin, the sin that dehumanizes and ultimately kills us. And yet the beautiful truth of the cross is that you're not the one on the cross, that your perfect King in love has come down for you. He's found a way to take your place so that the horrible, deadly, dehumanizing work of sin might be exhausted in him rather than in us. In the garden, the serpent had insinuated that God was holding something back from the man and the woman, something that would have made their life better. That was a lie. At the cross, we see the truth that God holds nothing back. St. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not along with him graciously give us all things? Yes, the wages of sin is death. And we still experience that in this body. But the cross changes everything. The free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. No longer does death mean separation from God, because the Lord of life has entered into death for us, with us. The penalty that we deserved because of our sin has been paid in full. It is finished. That is the gospel truth. As Isaiah said, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. What is truth? It's this: God's justice and his love on full display through Jesus at the cross, so that you might be forgiven, so that you might become his child, his new creation. Return to the cross and return to the truth today. In the name of our crucified King Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds today and always in Christ Jesus, our crucified Lord. Amen.